Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going deep into the world of hormones.
Oh, yeah.
Specifically, this fascinating molecule called androstenediol.
Okay.
If you're interested in learning more about complex topics like this, you can visit our website, publichealthlaw.net.
Oh, right.
Now, you might be wondering, what exactly is androstenediol?
Yeah.
Well, it's a key player in the intricate dance of androgens and estrogens.
Uh-huh.
Those hormones that impact everything from our mood and behavior to our reproductive health and how we age.
Okay.
And get this, it even plays a role in brain function,
acting
like a neurosteroid.
What's fascinating here is that androstenediol is a bit of a double agent.
A double agent.
Yeah.
That's a great way to put it. It sounds like it's walking a tightrope between these two powerful hormonal forces.
Uh-huh.
How does that even work?
Well, think of it like this. You have androgens like testosterone.
Okay.
Which are often associated with male characteristics.
Yeah.
And estrogens like estradiol, which are associated with female characteristics.
Okay.
But it's not that simple.
Right.
These hormones exist in both men and women, and it's all about balance.
Okay.
Androstenediol is derived from dihydrotestosterone, or DHT.
Okay.
Which is a potent androgen.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the twist.
Okay.
It can actually interact with both androgen and estrogen receptors in various tissues throughout the body.
So it's like it has a foot in both camps.
Exactly.
That seems counterintuitive. Why would a hormone derived from an androgen want to interact with estrogen receptors?
That's what makes it so intriguing.
Yeah.
It challenges our traditional understanding of hormones.
Right.
And this dual action gives it a unique influence over hormonal balance.
Okay.
Instead of thinking of hormones as having strictly male or female roles,
right,
we need to view them as collaborators in an intricate dance that keeps our bodies functioning optimally.
That's a helpful way to think about it.
Yeah.
So by interacting with both androgen and estrogen receptors, androstenediol is essentially a fine tuner, ensuring that these hormonal systems stay in harmony.
Precisely.
Okay.
It's like a conductor making sure all the instruments are playing in sync.
Okay.
And this delicate balance has significant implications for a range of bodily functions, from prostate health and ovarian function to, as I mentioned earlier, even brain activity.
Hold on, brain activity.
Yeah.
You're telling me this hormone can affect how our brains work?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Think of neurosteroids as chemical messengers that can directly influence how our brains function.
Okay.
Androstenediol is one of these messengers.
Okay.
It interacts with something called the GABA receptor.
Okay.
Which is like a gatekeeper for neuronal activity.
Okay, so it's influencing the flow of information in the brain.
Exactly.
What kind of impact does that have?
Well, GABA receptors play a crucial role in regulating mood, anxiety, and sleep, among other things.
Okay.
So by interacting with these receptors, androstenediol can potentially influence our emotional well-being and cognitive function. It's like it has a say in how calm, alert, or even how sleepy we feel.
Wow. I never realized the connection between hormones and brain function was so profound.
Mm.
This is really eye-opening. Yeah. So we have this hormone derived from DHT acting on both androgen and estrogen receptors.
Yeah.
And even impacting our brains. How is this stuff even made? What's the process?
Well, without getting too technical.
Okay.
Imagine your body has two workshops.
Okay.
The 5-alpha pathway and the 5-beta pathway.
Okay.
Each workshop uses slightly different tools and blueprints to produce slightly different forms of androstenediol.
So it's not just one type of androstenediol.
Right.
They're variation.
Exactly. It's like having different models of the same car.
Okay.
Each one tailored for a specific purpose.
Okay.
We have 3-alpha androstenediol.
Okay.
Which is more involved in that neurosteroid activity we were talking about influencing brain function.
Right.
Then there's 3-beta androstenediol, which plays a bigger role in modulating estrogenic activity, particularly in reproductive tissues like the ovaries and uterus.
Okay. So we're seeing specialization even within the different forms of androstenediol.
Uh-huh.
Some are brain-focused, others are more involved in reproductive processes.
Precisely.
Okay.
And then we have the 5-alpha and 5-beta forms,
mm-hmm.
each produced in their respective workshops.
Okay.
And these play distinct roles in various tissues like the prostate and ovaries.
Yeah.
It's like having different teams of specialized workers.
Okay.
Each contributing to the overall function of the body.
This is all so intricate.
Yeah.
So we have multiple forms of androstenediol, each with its own set of actions.
Yeah.
And they all work together to maintain that delicate balance in our hormonal systems.
Right.
This is way more complex than I ever imagined. But what does this all mean for us?
Yeah.
Why should we care about this seemingly obscure molecule?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And the answer lies in its clinical significance.
Okay.
Androstenedione is a valuable biomarker.
Okay. Which means it can provide clues about what's going on with our hormonal health?
A biomarker. So by measuring levels of androstamiol,
yeah,
doctors can get a glimpse into the inner workings of our endocrine system.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
Think of a biomarker, like a fingerprint.
Okay.
By measuring androstenedione, doctors can get a unique snapshot of your hormonal health.
That's fascinating. But how do they actually measure it? What kind of tests are involved?
The most common way is through a urine test.
Okay.
It's relatively non-invasive, and it can reveal a lot about a person's overall hormone balance.
So no need for needles or blood draws.
Right.
That's a relief. But what kind of information can they get from analyzing a urine sample? What are they looking for?
Well, they're looking for clues about hormonal imbalances.
Okay.
Abnormal levels of androstenedione can be like red flags, signaling that something might be off.
Okay.
For instance, elevated levels in women might suggest conditions like hyperandrogenism, where there's excessive androgen activity.
Hyperandrogenism.
That sounds serious. What kind of problems can that lead to?
It can lead to a range of symptoms,
okay,
including acne hirsutism, or excessive hair growth, and even menstrual irregularities.
So it's not just about physical appearance. It can impact a woman's overall reproductive health.
Exactly.
And in men, low levels of androstenedione could be a sign of androgen deficiency, which can manifest as decreased libido, fatigue, and even erectile dysfunction.
Right.
So we're talking about a hormone that can have a profound impact on both men's and women's health.
Yes.
But what about its connection to aging? Does it play a role there as well?
It most certainly does. Right. As we age, androstenedione levels naturally decline.
Okay.
And this decline has been linked to a number of age-related issues.
Now, that's interesting. Tell me more about the link between androstenedione and aging.
Okay.
What kind of age-related issues are we talking about?
Well, studies have shown a correlation between declining androstenedione levels and cognitive decline. There's also evidence suggesting a connection to decreased libido and an increased risk of osteoporosis.
So as androstenedione levels drop, our brains might not function as sharply.
Yeah.
Our sex drive might take a hit.
Right.
And our bones might become more fragile.
Yeah.
That's a lot to consider.
Indeed. Huh. And it highlights the importance of understanding how our hormones change as we age and how those changes can impact our overall health and well-being. This is where it gets really fascinating because it opens up the possibility of interventions to restore those declining hormone levels and potentially mitigate some of those age-related issues.
That raises an important question. Can we do anything to restore androstenedione levels as we get older? Is there some kind of fountain of youth for our hormones?
That's where hormone supplementation comes into play.
Okay.
There's growing interest in the potential benefits of restoring androstenedione levels to a more youthful range, particularly for addressing those age-related concerns we were just talking about.
Yeah. So could hormone supplementation be a potential solution?
It's a promising area of research.
Okay.
But it's crucial to emphasize that hormone supplementation should always be approached with caution and under the guidance of a qualified healthcare professional.
That makes sense. Hormones are powerful substances.
Yeah.
And I imagine messing with them without proper medical supervision could have unintended consequences.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Careful monitoring is essential to ensure that supplementation is done safely and effectively.
Okay.
It's not a one-size-fits-all approach. It requires personalized care and attention.
Now, we've talked about androstenedione in the context of aging. But you mentioned earlier that abnormal levels could be a sign of other health conditions.
Right.
What are some of those conditions?
Well, we touched on hyperandrogenism in women,
right,
which can lead to those symptoms like acne and excess hair growth. Another condition to mention is polycystic ovary syndrome, or PCOS. It's a hormonal disorder that affects women of reproductive age and is characterized by irregular periods, excess androgen levels.
Okay.
And often the presence of cysts on the ovaries.
PCOS is a pretty common condition, right?
It is.
So androstenedione could be a valuable tool for understanding and managing it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Androstenedione levels can be helpful in diagnosing and monitoring this condition, giving healthcare providers a clearer picture of what's going on hormonally.
So it's another piece of the puzzle in unraveling the complex world of hormonal health.
Yes.
Are there any other conditions where androstenedione plays a role?
Another one to mention is hirsutism. which is excessive hair growth in women,
right,
often in a male-like pattern.
Okay.
Elevated androstenedione levels can contribute to this condition as well.
Okay.
And in men, low levels can sometimes be associated with conditions like hypogonadism, which involves reduced testosterone production.
Interesting. So we're seeing a pattern here where androstenedione is often implicated in conditions related to hormonal imbalances.
It's like a canary in the coal mine alerting us to potential problems.
Right.
But let's say someone suspects they might have a hormonal imbalance related to androstenedione.
Mm-hmm.
How do they go about getting tested? We talked about urine tests earlier.
Right.
But are there other ways to measure its levels?
Yes. While urine tests are common, blood tests can also be used to measure androstenedione levels.
Okay, so blood tests or urine tests, both are options.
Exactly.
Well, what happens after the sample is collected?
Uh-huh.
How do they actually analyze it?
Well, they use advanced technologies like liquid chromatography, tandem mass spectrometry.
Okay.
It sounds complicated.
Yeah.
But essentially, it allows for very precise and sensitive measurement of androstenedione levels.
Sounds pretty high tech. So they get a number, but what does that number actually mean?
That's where the expertise of a qualified healthcare professional comes in.
Okay.
They will interpret the test results, taking into account factors like age, sex, and overall health status.
Mm-hmm. To determine if the levels are within a normal range or if there's any cause for concern.
So it's not just about getting a number. It's about understanding what that number means in the context of an individual's health.
Exactly.
That makes sense. But what happens if those levels are abnormal? What are the next steps?
Well, that's where the real detective work begins.
Okay.
If the levels are outside the normal range, the healthcare professional will need to investigate further to determine the underlying cause.
Okay.
They might order additional tests.
Okay.
Or they might consider starting treatment to address the imbalance.
Okay, so it's a multi-step process.
Yeah.
It's not just a simple blood test and then you're done.
Right.
It requires careful interpretation.
Yeah.
And often further investigation.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about treatment.
Okay.
We've talked about androstenedione's role as a diagnostic marker.
Right.
But what about its potential for therapeutic applications?
Mm-hmm.
Can it be used to treat certain conditions?
That's a fascinating area of exploration. Androstenedione does hold potential for therapeutic use. Particularly in the realm of hormone therapy.
Interesting. So it's not just a passive observer. It could actually be an active participant in treatment.
Exactly.
Tell me more about that. How could androstenedione be used therapeutically?
Well, one potential application is in addressing deficiencies or imbalances,
mm-hmm.
particularly in aging populations experiencing age-related hormone decline.
So it could be a way to restore hormonal balance as we get older.
Right.
Potentially mitigating some of those age-related issues we talked about earlier.
Exactly.
Like boosting cognitive function or increasing bone density.
That's the idea.
Okay.
And it's not just limited to aging.
Hmm.
Androstenedione might also have a role in treating specific conditions like hirsutism and virilization,
okay.
which is the development of male characteristics in females.
So it could be a tool for managing a range of hormonal issues.
Yes.
That's pretty remarkable. But are there any risks or drawbacks to using androstenedione therapeutically?
Mm.
We talked about the importance of working with a healthcare professional,
mm-hmm.
but what are some of the potential downsides?
As with any hormone therapy, there are potential risks and side effects that need to be carefully considered.
Oh.
Some people might experience acne mood swings
mm-hmm.
or changes in their libido.
Okay, so those are some things to be aware of.
Yeah.
Sounds like the benefits and risks need to be weighed carefully.
Right.
Are there different types of androstenedione therapy?
Mm-hmm.
Like, are we talking about pills, injections, or something else?
There are different forms of hormone therapy.
Okay.
And the specific approach will depend on the individual and their needs.
Okay.
Some people might benefit from oral supplements,
okay.
while others might require injections or topical creams.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all approach.
Right.
It's about finding the right delivery method for each person.
Exactly.
This is also fascinating.
Yeah.
It's amazing to see how this one hormone keeps popping up in such diverse areas of health and disease. It's like it's a key player in so many different stories.
Exactly.
This deep dive has been a real eye-opener, and I'm eager to delve even deeper into the complexities of androstenedione in our next segment.
Okay.
Until then, listeners, if you're hungry for more knowledge,
yeah.
remember to visit publichealthlaw.net.
All right.
Where you'll find a wealth of information on fascinating topics like this.
Okay.
We'll be back soon with part two of our deep dive into the world of androstenedione. Welcome back to our deep dive into the world of androstenedione.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still amazed by how much this one hormone impacts our bodies, from our brains to our bones.
It's truly remarkable, isn't it?
Right.
And in this part, we're going to zoom in on some of its most intriguing interactions.
Right.
Remember how we talked about androstenedione being a double agent, playing a role in both the androgen and estrogen systems?
Right.
Well, it turns out those interactions are even more complex and fascinating than we initially thought.
Okay, I'm all ears. Tell me more about these hormonal power struggles.
Well, one of the key relationships androstenedione has is with testosterone.
Testosterone.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're like two dancers in a complex tango.
Okay.
Constantly influencing each other's moves.
Testosterone, the classic male hormone. I'm curious.
Yeah.
How do these two interact?
Is
it a competition?
It's a bit of both, actually.
It's like collaboration.
Remember, androstenedione is a metabolite of DHT, which itself is a supercharged version of testosterone.
Right.
So they're like family, but sometimes family members can be rivals, right?
Uh-huh. I can relate to that. So how does this family rivalry play out in the body?
Well, imagine them both vying for the same parking spots.
Okay.
Both androstenedione and testosterone can bind to certain proteins in the blood.
Okay.
And these proteins act like parking spaces,
carrying
the hormones throughout the body.
Okay, I'm visualizing this.
Yeah.
So if there's limited parking, they have to compete for those spots.
Exactly.
And depending on who gets more parking spaces,
meaning
who binds more to those proteins, it can affect how much of each hormone is available to actually do its job in the body.
Okay.
So the effects of testosterone can be either enhanced or dampened by the presence of androstenedione.
Interesting. It's like a constant push and pull, a balancing act between these two hormones.
Precisely.
Okay.
And it highlights the importance of viewing hormones not as solo acts, but as part of a dynamic ensemble, always adjusting to each other's presence.
So it's not just about how much of each hormone you have.
Right.
It's about their relative levels and how they interact with each other.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
It's all about finding that sweet spot.
Okay.
That hormonal harmony.
But it gets even more interesting because androstenedione doesn't just compete with testosterone for those parking spots.
Uh-huh.
It can also influence how much testosterone the body actually makes.
Exactly.
Wait, really?
It can affect testosterone production itself. How does that work?
Think of testosterone production like a factory.
Okay.
Androstenedione can act like a foreman.
Okay.
Giving instructions to the workers.
Okay.
It can interact with enzymes involved in testosterone synthesis, either telling them to speed up production or slow it down.
So it's like androstenedione has a say in how much testosterone is being churned out by the factory.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's another layer of regulation ensuring that testosterone levels stay within a healthy range.
Wow. This is getting more and more complex. But it highlights the fact that our hormones are constantly communicating with each other.
Yes.
Creating a finely tuned system that keeps our bodies functioning smoothly.
It's a truly remarkable orchestration. And to add another layer to this fascinating symphony, let's talk about androstenedione's relationship with estradiol.
Estradiol, the main female sex hormone.
Yeah.
Now, this seems a bit counterintuitive. Why would a hormone derived from DHT be interacting with estradiol?
That's where the double agent aspect comes in again.
Okay.
Remember, androstenedione can interact with both androgen and estrogen receptors.
Right. It's got a foot in both camps.
Exactly.
But what does this mean for its relationship with estradiol?
Well,
are they friends, enemies, or frenemies?
Well, it's more of a complex dance.
Okay.
Just like with testosterone.
Okay.
Androstenedione can compete with estradiol for those same parking spots.
Okay.
Those binding sites on proteins in the blood.
Okay, so it's like they're vying for attention from the same chaperone at the hormonal dance.
Exactly.
And who gets more attention determines how much of each hormone can actually get to work.
Exactly. And depending on their relative concentrations,
who's
showing up with more dance partners, so to speak?
Right.
Androstenedione can either enhance or diminish estradiol's effects.
Okay.
It's a delicate balancing act, constantly shifting based on the body's needs.
So in a way, androstenedione is like the ultimate wingman.
Yeah.
Sometimes helping testosterone get the girl and sometimes helping estradiol steal the show. That's a great way to visualize it.
Yeah.
It all depends on the context the specific tissues involved and the overall hormonal environment.
Right.
And this ability to modulate both androgenic and estrogenic activity makes androstenedione a truly fascinating player in the hormonal symphony.
It's mind-boggling to think about all these intricate interactions happening constantly within our bodies. It's like a complex dance with all these hormones swirling and partnering up, creating a dynamic equilibrium that keeps everything in check.
It's a testament to the remarkable complexity and resilience of our biological systems.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, we've explored androstenedione's relationships with testosterone and estradiol. But let's shift our focus to some specific health conditions.
Okay.
We touched on a few earlier, like hyperandrogenism and PCOS.
Right.
But I'm curious to learn more about its potential role in other areas, especially in men's health.
Certainly, let's delve a bit deeper into its connection with prostate health. Remember, androstenedione is a metabolite of DHT, which is known to play a role in prostate growth and development.
Right. And we often hear about DHT being implicated in conditions like benign prostatic hyperplasia or BPH, where the prostate gland becomes enlarged, and even prostate cancer.
Yeah.
So where does androstenedione fit into this picture?
Well, that's an area of active research. Scientists are trying to understand if androstenedione levels could be a useful marker.
Okay.
For prostate health.
Mm-hmm.
Or even a target for new therapies.
So could measuring androstenedione levels help predict or diagnose prostate problems earlier?
That's one of the hopes.
Okay.
Some studies have suggested that men with elevated androstenedione levels might be at a higher risk of developing BPH or prostate cancer.
That makes sense given its connection to DHT.
Right.
But more research is needed to confirm these findings.
Exactly. It's still early days in terms of using androstenedione as a diagnostic tool for prostate problems.
Okay.
But it's definitely an area to watch closely.
Interesting. So it's a potential piece of the puzzle in understanding and managing prostate health.
Yes.
What about its role in women's health beyond the conditions we've already discussed? Are there other areas where it might be involved?
Absolutely. There's a growing interest in exploring its potential role in conditions like endometriosis and uterine fibroids.
Okay.
These are common gynecological conditions that can cause pain, bleeding, and even infertility.
That sounds incredibly disruptive and painful.
Yeah.
And what's the connection with androstenedione? How could it be involved in those conditions?
Well, both endometriosis and uterine fibroids are often associated with hormonal imbalances.
Okay.
And remember, androstenedione can influence both androgen and estrogen pathways.
Right.
So researchers are investigating whether it might contribute to the development or progression of these conditions.
So it's another potential clue in unraveling the complex web of hormonal influences on women's reproductive health.
Precisely.
Now, we've talked about androstenedione's potential implications for prostate health and women's reproductive health. But I'm curious to revisit its role in the brain.
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier that it acts as a neurosteroid.
Right.
Directly influencing brain activity.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on that?
Of course.
What does that actually mean for our cognitive function and mental well-being?
Remember those GABA receptors we talked about?
Yeah.
The ones that act like gatekeepers for neuronal activity?
Right.
Well, androstenedione can interact with these receptors, influencing how our brain cells communicate with each other.
Okay. And remind me again, what are those GABA receptors involved in?
They play a crucial role in regulating a wide range of brain functions, including mood, anxiety, sleep, and cognition.
So all the important things.
Yes, they're involved in keeping our emotions balanced, helping us fall asleep and stay asleep, and even influencing our ability to think clearly and remember things.
Wow. So by interacting with these receptors, androstenedione could potentially influence all those things. That's incredibly powerful.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
And that's why researchers are so interested in studying its potential role in conditions like depression, anxiety disorders, and even neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's disease.
Now, that's fascinating. So we're talking about a hormone that could potentially impact mental health, cognitive function, and even the progression of neurodegenerative diseases.
Exactly.
It's like it holds a key to understanding and potentially treating some of the most challenging conditions facing humanity.
It's a promising area of research.
Yep.
But it's important to remember that much more work is needed to fully understand the complex interplay between androstenedione and brain function.
Right, of course.
There are many factors involved, and it's not a simple cause and effect relationship.
Of course, scientific rigor is essential. But it's exciting to think about the possibilities that lie ahead as we uncover more about the brain-boosting potential of this remarkable hormone. And speaking of uncovering more, what are some of the other areas where scientists are focusing their research efforts when it comes to androstenedione?
Well, one area that's gaining a lot of attention is the development of novel therapeutic applications for androstenedione.
Okay.
Scientists are investigating its potential use in a wide range of conditions, from age-related cognitive decline to metabolic disorders, and even certain types of cancer.
Wow, that's a pretty diverse set of conditions.
Yeah.
Can you give me some specific examples of what's being explored? What are some of the most promising avenues of research?
For instance, in the realm of cognitive decline, there's growing interest in exploring whether androstenedione supplementation could help preserve cognitive function in aging populations, or even slow the progression of neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's.
So it could be a potential brain booster for seniors. That's incredibly promising.
Yeah.
What about in the realm of metabolic disorders? What are they looking at there?
Researchers are looking into whether androstenedione could play a role in improving insulin sensitivity and glucose metabolism, which are key factors in managing conditions like type 2 diabetes.
So it might have benefits for metabolic health as well.
Exactly.
This hormone just keeps getting more and more impressive.
Uh-huh.
You mentioned cancer as well. What's the connection there?
There's some preliminary research suggesting that androstenedione could have anti-cancer properties, particularly in hormone-sensitive cancers like prostate cancer and breast cancer.
Anti-cancer properties. Now, that's truly groundbreaking. How does that work? What are the mechanisms involved?
The exact mechanisms are still being investigated.
Okay.
But some studies suggest that androstenedione might be able to inhibit the growth and spread of cancer cells, potentially acting as a natural defense against these devastating diseases.
This is all so fascinating. It's amazing to think that a hormone we've only recently begun to understand could hold such profound potential for treating such a wide range of conditions. Mm. It's like we're just beginning to unlock the secrets of this incredible molecule.
It's a testament to the power of scientific exploration and the incredible complexity of our biological systems.
And as research continues to delve deeper, we're likely to uncover even more surprises and potentially revolutionary therapeutic applications.
Yeah, but it's important to emphasize that much of this research is still in its early stages.
Right.
More studies are needed to confirm these potential benefits and determine the safety and efficacy of androstenedione in these contexts.
Of course, scientific rigor is essential, but it's definitely exciting to see the progress being made and the potential for new and innovative treatments on the horizon.
Yeah.
It seems like androstenedione could play a key role in shaping the future of medicine.
It certainly has the potential to do so.
Yeah.
And as research progresses, we're likely to see even more targeted and personalized approaches to androstenedione therapy, taking into account individual variations in genetics, lifestyle, and other factors.
Personalized medicine, that's the future.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating to think that we might one day be able to tailor hormone therapies to each individual's unique needs and responses, maximizing the benefits while minimizing the risks.
It's a revolutionary concept that holds immense promise for improving patient outcomes and enhancing overall well-being.
Okay, so we've covered the cutting edge of therapeutic applications.
Yeah.
What other exciting developments are happening in the world of androstenedione research? What are scientists focusing on as they continue to explore this multifaceted hormone?
Well, one area that's gaining momentum is the development of more sensitive and accurate methods for measuring androstenedione levels.
Why is that so important? We talked earlier about blood tests and urine tests.
Right.
But why the push for even better measurement tools?
Remember we talked about how androstenedione levels can serve as a biomarker for various health conditions?
Right.
Having more precise measurement tools allows healthcare professionals to better assess hormonal balance, diagnose conditions earlier, and monitor treatment progress more effectively.
So it's all about getting a clearer picture of what's going on hormonally, like having a high-definition lens to view the intricate workings of our hormonal systems.
That's a great analogy. And with advancements in laboratory techniques, we're now able to detect even subtle fluctuations in androstenedione levels, providing a more nuanced understanding of its role in health and disease.
This is really exciting. It's like we're opening up a whole new chapter in our understanding of hormonal health.
It truly is.
Yeah.
And as our measurement capabilities continue to improve, we're likely to gain even deeper insights into the complex dance of hormones within our bodies and unlock new possibilities for optimizing health and treating disease.
Well, this deep dive has been an incredible journey of discovery, and I feel like I've gained a whole new appreciation for the complexity and power of our hormonal systems. And Androstenediol has emerged as a truly fascinating character in this intricate story.
It's been a pleasure sharing these insights with you. And I believe our final part will be equally insightful as we delve into the latest scientific advancements.
Okay.
Explore emerging therapeutic applications and discuss the future directions of androstenediol research.
I can't wait to hear more. And listeners, if you're as fascinated by this topic as I am, be sure to visit publichealthlaw.net for even more in-depth information on public health and beyond.
Okay.
We'll be back soon for the final part of our deep dive into the world of androstenediol. Welcome back to the deep dive. We're about to wrap up our exploration of this amazing hormone, androstenediol.
It's been quite a journey, hasn't it? From its role as a hormonal balancing act to its potential as a key player in treating a variety of conditions.
Yeah.
Androstenediol has certainly proven to be a fascinating subject.
Absolutely. And in this final part, I'm really eager to hear about the latest breakthroughs in androstenediol research.
Okay.
And what the future holds for this multifaceted molecule.
Well, one area that's generating immense excitement is the development of those novel therapeutic applications we touched on earlier.
Okay.
Scientists are exploring the potential of androstenediol in a truly diverse range of areas, from age-related cognitive decline to metabolic disorders and even certain types of cancer.
It's incredible to think that one hormone could have such wide-ranging therapeutic potential.
Yeah.
Can you give me some more specific examples of what researchers are working on?
Certainly. In the realm of cognitive decline, there's a growing body of research suggesting that androstenediol supplementation might be able to help preserve cognitive function in aging populations. Imagine a future where a simple hormone supplement could help seniors maintain their mental sharpness and independence as they age.
That would be revolutionary. It would completely change how we approach aging and cognitive health.
Yeah.
Are there any specific studies or findings that support this idea?
There have been several studies in both animals and humans that have shown promising results.
Okay.
For example, one study found that androstenediol supplementation improved memory and learning in aged rats.
Wow.
And in a small pilot study in humans, androstenediol was shown to enhance cognitive performance in older adults with mild cognitive impairment.
Those are encouraging findings.
Yeah.
It sounds like there's a real possibility that androstenediol could be a game changer.
Yeah.
In the fight against age-related cognitive decline.
It really could be.
What about its potential in metabolic disorders? Mm. What kind of research is happening in that area?
Researchers are investigating whether androstenediol could play a role in improving insulin sensitivity, which is crucial for regulating blood sugar levels and preventing conditions like type 2 diabetes.
So it could potentially help people better manage their blood sugar and reduce their risk of developing diabetes.
Exactly. And there's even some evidence suggesting that it might be able to help protect against the complications of diabetes, such as nerve damage and cardiovascular disease.
Wow, that would be a major breakthrough for the millions of people around the world who are affected by diabetes.
Yeah.
It seems like androstenediol might be a valuable tool in the fight against this global health challenge.
It's certainly a promising avenue of research, and I'm eager to see what further studies reveal.
Now, shifting gears a bit.
Okay.
We also talked about the possibility that androstenediol might have anti-cancer properties.
Yes.
This is an area that's still in its early stages, but the preliminary findings are quite intriguing.
They are.
I remember you mentioning that it might be able to inhibit the growth and spread of cancer cells. Can you tell me more about that? What kind of cancers are researchers focusing on?
Right now, the primary focus is on hormone-sensitive cancers, such as prostate cancer and breast cancer.
Okay.
These cancers are fueled by hormones.
Right.
And researchers are exploring whether androstenediol might be able to disrupt those hormonal signals and slow down or even stop tumor growth.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
It sounds like it could be a powerful weapon in the fight against cancer.
Yeah.
Especially those types that are driven by hormones.
Exactly.
Are there any specific studies that have shown promising results?
There have been a number of laboratory studies that have shown that androstenediol can inhibit the growth of prostate cancer cells and breast cancer cells in a petri dish.
Okay.
And there's even some preliminary evidence from animal studies suggesting that it might be able to shrink tumors in vivo.
Those are really encouraging findings.
Yeah.
It definitely fuels the hope that androstenediol could one day be used to develop new and more effective cancer treatments.
Yeah, I agree.
But I know you mentioned earlier that more research is needed
yeah.
to confirm these early findings and determine the safety and efficacy of using androstenediol therapeutically.
That's absolutely crucial.
Right.
We need to proceed with caution and let the science guide us.
Mm-hmm.
But the potential is certainly there. And it's incredibly exciting to think about the possibilities that lie ahead.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that we're always on the cusp of new discoveries.
Yeah.
And sometimes the most unexpected molecules can hold the keys to solving some of our biggest health challenges.
I couldn't agree more. And speaking of discoveries, another exciting area of androstenediol research is focused on developing even more sensitive and accurate methods for measuring its levels in the body.
That makes sense. If we want to harness the therapeutic potential of androstenediol, we need to be able to accurately assess its levels and how they fluctuate in response to different factors.
Exactly. And thankfully, there have been some significant advancements in laboratory techniques that are making this possible.
Yeah.
We can now detect even subtle changes in androstenediol levels,
right,
which gives us a much more precise understanding of its role in health and disease.
That's like having a high-definition lens to view the intricate workings of our hormonal systems.
It is.
It opens up so many possibilities for personalized medicine and targeted therapies.
Precisely. As our measurement capabilities continue to improve,
we'll be able to tailor treatments more effectively, maximizing the benefits and minimizing the risks for each individual.
Well, this deep dive into the world of androstenediol has been truly eye-opening.
Yeah.
We've gone from understanding its basic role in hormonal balance to exploring its potential as a key player in treating everything from cognitive decline to cancer.
Yeah.
It's been an incredible journey.
It has indeed. And I think it highlights the importance of staying curious and open-minded when it comes to scientific exploration.
Yeah.
Sometimes the most unexpected molecules can hold the greatest potential for improving human health.
Absolutely. And before we wrap up, I just want to remind our listeners that if they're interested in delving deeper into this topic or exploring other fascinating areas of public health, they can visit publichealthlaw.net for a wealth of information.
Yes.
It's a fantastic resource for anyone who's passionate about learning and staying informed.
It's a treasure trove of knowledge, and I highly recommend it. So on that note, I want to thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the world of androstenediol.
Yes.
It's been a pleasure exploring this fascinating hormone with you, and I hope our listeners have enjoyed the journey as much as we have.
The pleasure was all mine. And to our listeners, stay curious, keep learning, and take good care of your amazing hormonal selves.